In the name of Christ Jesus, who calls and commissions us to carry out his ministry and mission. The passage of Scripture which will be our focus of meditation today is the reading from Matthew chapter 28, read earlier, commonly known as the Great Commission. Today is a glorious, wondrous day in the life of this seminary and this church because it is a call day. It is the day of assignment of vicarages and calls for the fall quarter. And we have two pastoral candidates who will be receiving their calls and two vicars receiving their assignments as well. And so, in a sense, today is a send-off day for these four men. And for that, we rejoice. So it's appropriate that we look at this text from Matthew chapter 28, which in a sense was a send-off occasion, if you will, an assignment service for the disciples when Jesus sent them forth, sending them out to their assignments or calls in the nations, in all nations. And we might think that those disciples received that commission, those calls, if you will, with great excitement and zeal, boldness and courage. But that's not what the text says. Verses 16 and 17 record this for us. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. What do you think it was that they doubted? Do you think that they doubted that this was really Jesus resurrected from the dead? I don't think so. They had seen him, they had touched him, they had been with him several times beforehand. They had proclaimed him the risen Lord. No, that's not what they're doubting. Do you think that they're doubting that he is truly God? No, because the text here says that they worshiped him without distinction. They worshiped him. And you only worship one you declare to be God. So what did they doubt? Our resident expert in the book of Matthew here on campus, Dr. Jeff Gibbs, proposes that what they have doubted was in fact themselves. They doubted that they could carry out this mission. In this send-off, they were doubting their ability to do what God is calling them to do. And he notes that this is not the first time in Matthew's gospel that Jesus has alluded or alerted them to the fact that they will be sent forth into the nations. Several times earlier, for example, in chapter 24. And he has warned them that when they go out into the nations, they will be hated in the nations. They will be despised. They will be persecuted. Some of them will be killed. And so now, when it comes to the point of the day of assignments, they doubt. They are fearful. They are frightened. Can I carry out this mission? Can I fulfill this call? Look at the dangers out there. Look at the trouble. Look at the persecution. Look at the problems. Now, that word doubt is an interesting one to me in the English language. The word is spelled D-O-U-B-T. What letter just doesn't seem to fit there? How about B? Why is that there? We don't say doubt. Well, although these two words are not etymologically related, I think there's an association, for me at least, with another word that begins with D-O-U-B, and that is the word double. And essentially what we see here among these disciples and what we see in our own lives, when we doubt, we are seeing double. Verse 17 says that they saw Jesus, but they're also seeing the future tribulation and trials that they will encounter in their mission. Seeing double. And isn't that true for us as well? That as we face the calling that God has for us, when we face the calls that God has for us, the assignments, we have doubts. We see double. Oh, yes, we see Jesus and his call, but we also see the troubles, the hardship, the struggles, the challenges. And we wonder, are we up for it? In my role over the last 3 years as the acting placement director, after each of the spring placement services, usually several days later, I begin to receive a stream of candidates who have received their calls to come and visit with me for appointments. And they have now become thoroughly familiar with their new assignments, with the calls, the documents, the figures. They've had conversations with the district president, with the representatives of the congregation, circuit counselors, and oftentimes they come doubting. Doubting that they can actually serve in this place that they've been assigned to and serve these flesh and blood people. Because there's problems at this church. These people are troubled, and some of them are troublemakers. There's alligators. There's antagonists there. There's challenges financially in these churches. And sometimes they say, I really am questioning whether this is the right call for me. They doubt. And we do too. As we look ahead to our futures and the calls and the callings that God has for us, we also have our doubts. We wonder about the trials, the hardships, the troubles that await us. We see double. And that's why here in our text, immediately after it says that these disciples doubted, it says Jesus came to them. Jesus came to them. He took the initiative. And he comes to us as well. And he redirects our attention upon himself, upon him. And he delivers to us promises, three promises. The first promise is a promise of his power. His power. He says, all power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. All power in heaven and on earth. Imagine it. More power than the political power centered in Washington, D.C., for all of the political centers of the world. More power than that contained in the amassing of nuclear armaments. More power than the power that fuels the sun, fusion power, and all of the stars of the universe. All power is his. And he sends us forth in that power. And what kind of power is that? It's the power of the forgiveness of sins. Consistently through the book of Matthew, this word that's translated power or authority here, exousia, is associated with forgiveness of sins. For example, when Jesus healed a man and declared his sins forgiven, the Pharisees confront him and say, by what power, by what authority do you do these things? And they're especially concerned about the forgiveness of sins, that power, because they recognize only God has that power. And that's the point. Jesus here is God, and he is delivering that power to his people. He has just been to the cross and through the tomb. And he has conquered all powers that oppose him and that oppose us. Sin, death, hell. And he's delivered to us the forgiveness of sins, including the sin of our doubting, of seeing double, of not focusing on him. And now he gives to you his power to go forth in his name to make disciples of all nations. And there's no greater power than that, because the power of fusion, the power of fission, the power of politics will all end someday. But the power of the forgiveness of sins endures forever. And those who are touched by that forgiveness endure forever. No greater power. The second promise that Jesus gives here is a promise of his provision, of the means, the provisions to deliver that power, the means of grace, word, and sacrament. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," the sacrament, "and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you," the word. These are the means of his grace, the means of his power of forgiveness, and the means to his mission. And he delivers to you these means, these provisions for carrying out his call, his mission. This is his provision. But we also rejoice today that he provides to his church providers of these provisions. You, Tim, and your brother Ron, who are going forth to be the agents, the administrators of these provisions to God's people. For that, we give him thanks and rejoice. And there's one more promise that Jesus makes here in our text, and it's a promise of his presence. He says in the final verse, "I am with you always to the very close of the age." I am with you. My presence is with you. And it's a presence that's tied specifically with mission, with ministry. He will be there with us. And Tim, you will not be alone. Christ is with you. And our vicars, you will not be alone. Christ will be with you. Maybe that's why it's called the Great Commission, Co-mission. Because we don't carry it out alone, but it is a joint mission carried out in his name and by his presence. His presence that sustains us, that supports us, that empowers us. I have a pastor friend from Houston, Texas, Pastor John Kiesnick, who is very fond of saying, "Those who see the invisible will be able to do the impossible." And he's speaking specifically of those who see what is invisible to the world, Jesus Christ, who focus on him. They will be able to do what is seemingly impossible, the mission to which they are sent. May you focus on him. See him who is invisible to the world, but visible through his word and sacraments, so that you might do his mission, which is not impossible, but possible and accomplished through his power, his provisions, his presence. Amen.